I may have to revise my opinion of the animated series a little bit.
I can understand why you would do this.
And primarily my reason is the two episodes that we're covering this week, Once Upon a Planet and Mud's Passion, are both sequels to original series episodes. And if you remember from a couple weeks ago when we talked about More Troubles, More Tribbles, I think we both felt that it was an okay episode. It was a decent follow-up to The Trouble with Tribbles. Nowhere near as good as that episode. And also, probably the weakest episode of this show that we have watched so far.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And what I'm realizing is that when an episode of the animated series is a sequel to something that we've seen on the live action show, it really reveals the flaws in this show to an alarming degree, and it just does not make for a good experience.
These episodes are highlighting how weird the pacing of the animated series is because, you know, the pacing in the regular, in the live action series isn't as stilted, but they're doing things. They're crossing the state. They're crossing the set. They're fiddling with a button. And so
they have facial expressions.
Yeah, exactly. So we hear there are all these pauses in the dialogue where you can see one of the actors actually, you know, fiddling with a knob or something like that. So I don't know. This is just making me realize that that's where a lot of this seems to be coming from. Possibly.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing, too, is that, you know, if you're looking at the show and like Once Upon a Planet, let's talk about
Which
Once Upon a Planet.
Which is the worst title.
It's you know, it's kind of cutesy. It makes a little bit of sense, I guess, but not really a lot. And, you know, it starts out, I think, in a bad place because, number one, I don't really remember how Shore Leave ends, but I meant to revisit it before I recorded, and then I got distracted by not doing that.
Well, they basically find the dude who's all, well, this is an amusement park planet, and enjoy this Shore Leave, and they're all, we're going to enjoy Shore Leave now, and that's where it ends.
So the setup for the episode is they go back to the Shore Leave planet, and basically the same thing is happening again, only this time the caretaker of the planet has died and the computer has taken over, which all right, fine.
Well, I didn't know necessarily that the caretaker was a person. Like, and this is me not having watched the episode in a while either. I thought that he was a robot or a hologram, or I thought they implied that he was some kind of a construct. But
I don't think so.
You know, anyway, we'll just accept that because you need to in order to, you know, move on with your life. But yeah, my thing is they're all, well, these guys are chasing us and they're trying to kill us, which again, that why is that different this time? You know, that's what the planet is for.
I mean, there is even an explicit callback where Sulu is saying, hey, Dr. McCoy, remember when you saw the White Rabbit and Alice in Wonderland? And then 20 seconds later, the White Rabbit and Alice in Wonderland go by. And it's like, I saw this before. I don't really need to see an animated version of this exact same thing.
See, now, if they had done it where they had that little thing, but then they spent the rest of the episode going on even more weird adventures, that would have been a fine thing. But this just, it makes no sense. I don't know.
The problem I have with it is that it combines a lot of the laziest elements of Star Trek, which is sequels to things that no one was really interested in seeing again. And, you know, crazy computers that want to kill people.
And by the way, Uhura loses points. She has time to talk to this computer this entire time. She has not learned from Kirk how to destroy a computer by, like, talking at it yet, by yelling at it yet.
Well, to be fair, Uhura never really went on away missions until the animated series, so there is some of that. She wasn't there.
That's fair.
But, I mean, the thing
but
is...
But you think he would have had a, you know... There's a lot of episodes where, you know, they're just traveling and nothing happens. Like,
well, it's strange to me because I think this series has been using the female characters, Nurse Chapel and Uhura primarily, much better than the original series ever did. I mean, Uhura and Nurse Chapel had their moments, but, you know, the most characterization that Nurse Chapel ever got was she's lovesick for Spock, which we'll get to in our next episode.
Yeah.
But Uhura at least had some characterization. She was intelligent. She knew a lot of languages. She liked to sing. She had sort of a sense of humor, and you know, she just seemed like an enjoyable person to be on a mission with. And in an episode from a couple weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and we talked about the Lorelei signal.
Oh yeah,
she had a very, very strong presence in that episode.
And the nurse both. Oh god, the men are all right. Girls got to kick ass now, and they went,
you know? Right. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, we get Uhura having a very primary role in this episode, and basically, she's been kidnapped and she's the damsel in distress, which I find very problematic because it just seems like two steps forward, one step back.
Put it this way. Yeah, like when she doesn't even seem to attempt to explain to the computer, like, because when he's saying, oh, you're, you know, slaves of that machine, you know, she could, didn't she immediately say no? Well, like, that's our home. That's where we work. You know, it takes us from place to, like, why she couldn't have said that immediately. She kind of doesn't. And
I mean, I think that's
that is what they end up doing at the end.
Yeah. And I think that's a large part of my problem with the episode too. I mean, I've said before many times that I don't like it when characters elide or hold back information for sake of the plot. And I do feel like there is some of that in Uhura's interactions with the computer of this planet, where she's holding back information, not for any real reason, but because the episode would be over if she didn't. Yeah. And I don't know that we get a lot of really interesting stuff between then and the end of the episode. I mean, we get Kirk, Spock, and Sulu, I think, being chased by a dragon. And
was anybody thinking about pterodactyls, that line?
Yeah. And, you know, I guess this was the show's attempt to interject some sort of visual interest into the episode, which it certainly needed, because this is not really an episode that they could not have done on a live action budget if they hadn't had these crazy animals. And
well, put it this way, there was the scene where they essentially recreated that bit from Cat's Paw where the cat is attacking.
Oh god, yeah.
Now obviously much more effective here because they didn't have to worry about the practical side of the special effects, but at the same time, seeing an animated version of that scene was not on my list of things to do, you know? Again, if you want to have someone chased, menaced by monsters and aliens, you can do that on this show. There was some very nice art in that. Those colored pencil backgrounds in this are gorgeous of this episode.
Yeah, although the only problem I had with that is that it didn't really look like the planet from Shore Leave. But
no, but it was just pretty drawings.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, the dragon is cool. The pterodactyls are cool. All that's fine, but it's nothing that I haven't seen before. And let me also put it this way. There is an animated version of Alice in Wonderland that's considered, you know, a classic of animation. This is not. If I want to see animated Alice in Wonderland, you know, I'm going to watch the Disney one.
Yeah, I mean,
that just kind of like, don't try to make you do that one here.
Yeah, Filmation, you're not up to that. Yeah. Up to Disney standards. Don't try that.
There's a reason. Yeah, there's a reason one of you is synonymous with high quality cell animation and one is synonymous with cheap crap.
Yeah. You know? I think the other thing that I don't like about the episode is the ending, right? Because we get a version of the Kirk talking the crazy computer down trope that we saw 3 or 4 times in the original series. Only this time we get a nice tag team with Kirk, Spock, and Uhura. Although why she didn't do it 20 minutes earlier, I don't know. And it just seems very rote. Like, it doesn't seem like the computer is really being convinced of anything. They sort of give these half-hearted reasons why the computer shouldn't be trying to kill them. And then the computer basically says, oh, there's 2 minutes left. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's it. And that's how it ends. And there's no resolution. I don't feel like this episode serves any real purpose. It doesn't say anything about anything. And it has no visual interest at all. I mean, I think a lot of what you and I both are liking about the animated series is the trippy visuals.
Yeah.
And we just don't get enough of that in this episode. And so what you're left with is a very mediocre episode of Star Trek.
Yeah. The pterodactyls and the dragon, they would have lost probably if they'd done this live action, but I don't feel like that's okay, whatever. I'm not sad. I wouldn't have been sad about that. And
I did like the very end of the episode when they're all picnicking.
That was cute.
With the dragon.
Yeah, and I wanted the pterodactyls off to the side holding a cup of tea or something like that.
That would have been really great.
That's what we needed, but
And I mean, the episode does have its moments, because I also did like Dr. McCoy suddenly finding a like southern plantation house and just kind of staring longingly at it. And I really, really, really wanted him to walk up to the porch, find a rocking chair and a mint julep and just sit down for a minute. I wanted that to happen. And instead what we got was...
Yeah, but you know, that happened in this side of paradise.
There was no rocking chair.
There was no rocking chair, but I think he had a grass in his mouth.
I would have liked to seen an animated version of that. That's all I'm saying.
I like that he admits at one point, and this is a quote from the episode, "The whole episode was pretty hazy. I had no idea what happened," talking about the first shore leave.
Yeah.
It was just like, that's just whoever wrote this episode did not like that episode and is not happy to have written this episode. And just to say, you know something... We know it kind of sucks, but, you know.
The one good thing I like about this episode, though, is that Arix and Maress really get a chance to shine. This is the most that both of them have ever spoken. And while Maress has this kind of, little girl kitty cat voice, and she purrs a lot, which is just creepy. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Control yourself.
Now, is that Major Barrett?
It is.
Okay.
That, you know... That's kind of like if a person couldn't stop themselves from, like, I don't know.
Burping?
Yeah, like, it's just like, stop that. What are you doing? You're a professional Starfleet officer on the flagship of Starfleet. Like, don't do that.
Yeah, I just want her to finish her damn sentences, you know?
She sounds like she's swallowing something every time she speaks.
She probably is dealing with hairballs.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I bet Dr. McCoy is not happy to have Acacian on board. That's what she's called, actually, by the way, Acacian.
Acacian.
Yeah. You got it.
Wow.
You got it.
That guy left at 2 o'clock that day. He just said, "I'm just, you know, got a headache, and you know, my kids are on summer break this week. Like, I'm not doing this."
But, you know, it's I like that they speak a lot, but I also don't like it because it really reveals another flaw in the show, which is a lot of the strength and charm of the animated series comes from the fact that they have most of the original cast doing the voices. And when you have two brand new characters, which we had never seen before, and we only see them in an animated version, and we kind of know that they're being voiced by, you know, the two people that do Nurse Chapel and Scotty. It's
And put it this way, they don't really do anything that...
They don't really do anything interesting.
Yeah, that any of the random, you know, just hired... Okay, so, you know, George Takei is sick this week, so, you know, we need somebody to say one line about, you know, the ship, so just hire an extra. Like... That's what their parts have been. They're unusual looking extras, but they don't have personalities.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They're just weird looking aliens.
Yeah.
Artificial gravity goes off, though. I did like that.
Yeah.
That's another thing that they could not have done in the live action show.
What is the point of Melanex, which apparently just causes unconsciousness and discoloration like that? That's what is this drug possibly for? And why does he have it on a mission?
Maybe it was invented to get people out of going to work.
I would love that. There is a thing in Harry Potter that's kind of like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that drug could have been for.
My question...
You know what? It could have been for constipation. Those were the side effects. We don't know.
There's green poop all over the place.
I was going to say, would you really want to take a constipation drug that then makes you pass out?
Yeah.
Because then you'd poop yourself.
There's a Tim and Eric sketch about that.
I would like to leave this analogy away. Let's just move on.
My other question is, so at the end of this episode, they're trying to figure out how to get into the complex. And
yes.
They say, okay, well, how did we even find out there was a complex in the first place? McCoy died, and he was taken by some kind of machine or whatever to this back. So they repaired him, and he was just hanging out there until it was time for the episode to end. Okay, well, we've got to do that, but all of these things are killing us, so we're going to fake death. And, you know, at that point, it's like, yeah, I don't want to get eaten by a dragon, but if getting eaten by a dragon is going to, with low effort, get me to respawn in the exact place I want to go, like, that just seems the easiest version.
No, I think, I mean...
Just phaser yourself.
Phaser yourself. That sounds like something dirty. I will defend the episode a little bit there. I think it does make sense in that you don't want to actually kill someone, because the idea was to sneak someone in so that that person could then wake up pretty readily and find what was going on and stop it. Like, if someone had actually died, I can imagine that not happening.
That's true.
So
either way, it just seemed a little like they were making too big of a deal. I wouldn't have run quite so fast from that dragon. Let me just put it that way.
Two pterodactyls.
I would have run fast from one, but not two, believe it or not.
No, I'm saying I'm giving it two pterodactyls.
Oh, I'm giving it three.
Okay. Well, let's move on to our next episode, Mud's Passion.
I can see us being very happy to be done with this episode, and there's really not that much to say about it.
Mud's Passion?
No, about the pterodactyl episode. Mud's Passion, on the other hand, is goddamn creepy as shit.
Okay, here's the thing about Mud's Passion. This is the first episode of the animated series that I would have liked to have seen as a live-action episode.
I'm with you.
I think it's a shame that we only ever got two appearances of Harry Mudd in the original series. Mm-hmm. I think this, if it had been fleshed out into a 50-minute episode of the original series, could have been really good. And it's funny because this is an example of the animated series trying to do a follow-up of comedy, and I think succeeding in spite of itself.
There's a few moments, and I'll talk about those when we get to it, that were actually hilarious at this. And, you know,
I like the idea that the episode starts with Kirk and Spock going to a planet called Motherlode. All right.
Where, it's a mining planet, let's say.
Let's
hope to God it is.
But he's selling a love crystal, so I'm just saying. Where Harry Mudd is selling love crystals to miners.
Let's call it ecstasy, because what it is ecstasy.
Okay, he's selling ecstasy.
It makes everybody dance, fall in love with each other, and gives a fuck of a hangover. It's ecstasy.
We can add something else to the list of inventions that Star Trek inspired.
Yay!
Cell phones, Bluetooth earpieces, and ecstasy. There you go. And I just like the idea that now Starfleet is basically just sending Kirk. Like, that's their go-to guy whenever they need to arrest Harry Mudd. Because, this is, the third time now that he's been trying to arrest Harry Mudd.
I almost wonder if there is, because obviously there is some kind of...
Do you think Kirk is listening to, the space scanner?
I'm sure he's being given the bulletins from the Federation.
What I'm saying. He's listening to the Starfleet police scanner, and he hears that, hey, pick up Harry Mudd at Motherlode.
Yeah.
He's like, yes, I'm there. Let me get that right now.
I believe that. I mean, this is a man who...
He doesn't like Harry Mudd.
The episode Obsession, remember how crazy Kirk was to... Kirk does want to finish things, so if Harry Mudd's still out there, number one, as I've said, Kirk doesn't want Mudd to ever be killed, or he doesn't think he's a horrible, horrible person, but he wants him to have justice. So I think there is an element where Kirk might even say, well, look, I'll get him, I'll arrest him, he'll be there for a couple of weeks, but, somebody else chases after him, they may kill him, That there might even be a protective element to it.
I guess that's true, yeah. And I mean, definitely you can see in this episode Mudd getting in trouble again in spite of himself or perhaps because of himself. And Spock does that weird thing where he just phasers a gap in the ground so the miners can't get them and then they beam up, which is okay, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I don't know. And
I love how he has this beautiful woman that turns into be like this weird little Dr. Seuss animal. Like, that was great, but anyway.
The actor's portrayal of Mudd in this episode is, I can't figure out exactly why it's so creepy.
I'm with you.
I think a lot of it honestly has to do with the way that he was drawn.
That comb over.
Right.
Comb over will haunt my fucking nightmares.
The comb over, the dead eyes.
The gap tooth,
the mustache, which is obviously just a line drawn on his face. This is not the best animation that we've seen in this show, and that is saying a lot.
Well, put it this way, the actor who played Mudd in the live action series, he was not an attractive man, but number one, he did the role so charismatically, and he didn't look as greasy as this version of Mudd does. It's just first thing, I wanted them to give him a bath. Like, at least the actor, you could tell, showered.
Yeah, and his...
So, again, that is just a drawing thing, but...
And his voice performance, I think, is just not very good. I mean, yeah. It's certainly adequate, and I think he gets a lot more energy out of his lines than Kirk certainly does, or Shatner. But,
he's an over-the-top physical actor, just as Shatner was, and...
I think a lot of this episode and a lot of the jokes and the humor in this episode work in spite of themselves. Like, I really feel like this is an episode that's fighting not to fail and sort of succeeding. And... You know, again, I think it would have been a much stronger episode if it had been a live action episode. There's no way around it. I don't think that this was well served by being an animated episode.
I agree with you. The only real thing that was, you know, there was that little animal at the beginning. There are these weird creatures at the end, which we'll talk about those in a second, but. Beyond that, it is just more mud hijinks. You know, it's nothing that they couldn't have done live action.
Let's talk about Nurse Chapel.
Okay, let's talk about Nurse Chapel.
Because when I first saw that she was getting a primary role in this episode, I got a little excited because she doesn't really get that attention a lot. And then it went in the direction that I kind of thought it was going to go.
But then I think it saved itself.
Well,
so put it this. So one of the things I have always enjoyed about what they do with Nurse Chapel's crush to Spock is they totally torture this poor woman with her. Like every time it's brought up because Spock is going to be mind controlled or possessed or under a love drug or whatever.
Plato's stepchildren.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and you know, she genuinely does have feelings for him, but he never genuinely expresses them. But this happens so many times that, you know, she gets kissed by Spock when he doesn't mean it. And that must just freak her out. But
well, my problem with it wasn't so much that part of it, because I think it is interesting that it turns out that the ecstasy actually does work, at least for a little while, until it wears off. And then it makes you have violent hatred emotions towards the person that you loved 5 minutes
ago. Well, it takes all of your serotonin out of your brain, because that's what that does.
But I didn't like the fact that they had to get there by having Nurse Chapel act like such a goofball. And she acted extremely unprofessional, and I did not appreciate that, because I think if one thing you can say about Nurse Chapel is that she's always been professional. And I didn't like the fact that she basically got hoodwinked by Harry Mudd because she seems smarter than that.
On the other hand, I can accept that Harry Mudd he's not the greatest con man, but he is a con man. He does know how, maybe in a group situation he's not great, but when he is one-on-one with another person, he does know how to convince something into buying what he wants them to. And I think it was just a matter of she just got caught up in what he was doing, you know, in the excitement, and she was drugged a little bit. You know, went over to Spock, and the second, you know, Spock rejected her, like, she immediately said, oh, I'm an idiot, like, I can't believe I let Mudd, you know, he got me. Like, she immediately realizes her mistake, and then when she realizes that he's escaped, the immediate thing she does is just go up, karate chop him, and start to arrest him. Like, she doesn't even,
But she fails at that.
Well, there's that.
I mean, that's the problem, is, like, can we please just have another episode besides the Lorelei signal where the female officers are also competent? Well, I mean, that just kind of got on my nerves. Like, she gets taken by Harry Mudd, and okay, maybe he's really good at this. I've never really seen much of an example of that.
And that's also the other thing, like, kidnapping.
Let me finish. And then she kind of acts like a lovesick schoolgirl, and then she gets pissed off that Spock is not falling in love with her. And then she goes to try and arrest Mudd, misses with a phaser at point blank range, tries to karate chop him, and then he takes her as a hostage. And I'm like, I just, you know, this is not cool.
Even accepting that she is not a, you know, her days involve, you know, being in the med lab rather than in combat. She's had some training for being in the Federation, we assume. And, you know,
being in Starfleet, you mean?
And she's, you know, a woman in, what is she, mid-late 30s? Mudd is how old is she?
No, I would say she's supposed to be like 20s. In her late 20s.
I only assume because of the she's a officer on a Federation ship, you know. Just, but anyway, either that she's much younger than him, much more healthy, he's older and overweight. You know, you would think on that level alone, like, she right. would be a bit more agile than he is.
Yeah. I don't know. It rubbed me the wrong way.
But then you get all these scenes when the love potion gets through the air vents, and then that part of the episode was wonderful because they do a lot of really hilarious things with it. I loved Maris and Scotty, you know, getting really into each other, and, you know, you're very attractive for a human, and then just, you know, fighting afterwards. But that's creepy. I loved it.
Yeah,
I love the scene when they're like, "We need to get into the transporter," and they do a 2-second cut to these two people in the transporter room dancing, and they never, and then they just cut back to that, and that's it. That was wonderful. Like, that was a Family Guy cut. That
yeah, yeah,
done very well.
Yeah.
There were a lot of moments like that that were funny. Would this have been better done in live action? Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, I think a problem with this is that, you know, a lot of the certain scripts in the animated series work better as 23 minutes than others, and I think this one while it works, I think it needs some more setup, and I think it also it needs a bit more characterization, especially for Nurse Chapel. And I think a lot of her arc in this episode, if you can use that term for a 23 minute, you know, cartoon, would have worked a lot better for me, you know, if we had seen more of her. And if this was a 50 minute long live action episode, we could have seen more of her.
You know what arc she needed to have? She needed to have the arc where, you know, her love for Spock was brought up. Mud does manage to convince her. She does, you know, mistake, you know, give it to him and think it doesn't work. She does say, "Oh, that was dumb," you know, arrest him, whatever. Shit goes loose. When Spock then starts, you know, under the potion saying all these things to her, she needs to immediately say, "Look, you know, I'm done." Like, this needed to be the episode where she was done with that feeling towards Spock, just because I think this would have been the last time, you know, she's realizing it's being a distraction from her work, or it's stopping her from, you know, it's able to get her conned by now. It's Mud, but I think she can extrapolate that to what if it was Khan, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
So frankly, I think this needed to be that episode where she gets over it.
Yeah, no, I think actually that's a really astute reading of it. I hadn't thought of that, but I think
that would have been a way of using her love for Spock in a way which is acceptable, because you can have that as a character trait, and you can have that as a major character trait. She is a secondary character. She can be a little more easily defined by a romance with another character than a major character can be, but this needed to be the moment where she needed to figure, okay, this is not good anymore.
Yeah, I can see that.
The other bit, so they go on this planet and these Shai Hulud are attacking them and all of that, and they're all just like, "We have this love potion!" And what I thought they would do, because this would fit in with the rest of the series, the way it's been going, I thought they were going to give them the love potion, and when they beamed at a desperate thing, when they beamed down, you'd see them and the monsters just hanging out, and then they'd beam up calmly. They didn't. Like, that just seems to, like, distract them for 2 seconds. I don't even know why they bother giving it to them.
Well, I think the idea was that, because if you looked at and I like the rock monsters, they were
cool. Yeah, they were very, that was they have this background with this lumpy thing, and like, I looked at that, I'm like, that looks kind of like a thing, like, you know, is that just a, and then they have the eye opening, I'm like, oh, that was very cool.
Yeah, that was a cool shot.
Yeah, the camouflage of it.
I mean, they did do that, though. I mean, they throw it at the thing, it swallowed it, and then for like enough time that they could get away, the two creatures were like more interested in each other than they were in stomping.
They seemed like they were fighting each other.
I don't know. Maybe that's how they, you know. Weren't you ever like in grade school?
No.
I mean, didn't you see like little boys chasing little girls because they hated them?
I don't look at little boys or little girls. I find children creepy.
I mean, when you were in grade
in grade school, I was a little boy and I didn't need any. I something. This conversation is not turning into good places.
Just move on.
I will say, give Mud this bit of credit. Not a combat guy, not a soldier. When this rock monster is attacking him, shaking a little, but he does stand his ground and shoot at it with the pea shooter. Give him that bit of courage.
Okay, that's fair.
You know, that said, he is a much more sinister Mud in this one.
I don't know.
He's not just trying to swindle people. He's selling drugs. He is kidnapping women. He is using them. He explicitly calls her a hostage. His stuff is a little less hijinks.
In his first appearance, he was engaging in human trafficking. So.
No, they wanted it.
I'm sorry, it's still human trafficking.
Okay.
I don't buy it. I don't think this is more sinister. I think it's just he looks creepier because of the way they drew him. I think that's
And maybe that's it. Maybe, yeah, it's just the way he comes off as creep.
And I think, honestly, the first...
He's less lovable and more creepy this time.
I could see that. I mean, the first appearance of Mud, I think, is not a great episode. It's decent. But the second appearance is such a classic episode that I think that really colors our perceptions of Mud, and this one,
yeah, and in
it's
that
kind
one,
of in the middle. I think it's not as good as I'm Mud, but it's a less creepy hairy Mud than we see in Mud's Women. Let's go with that.
Let's go. I want to be done with this episode. Now,
one other thing I want to mention, and I think this is probably because it's a children's cartoon, but Scotty mentions scotch, but he does not drink scotch.
Well, Scotty also has sex with a cat lady, but we don't see that either.
And I'm really glad we didn't.
Do you remember that conversation we had earlier about hairballs?
What would you give this episode, Richard?
5 hits of Muds to see.
5. Yeah, 5 is about right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next week we are going to cover the Territon incident and the Ambergris element.
I hope they're better than this week, because this is the first real letdown week, I think.
Yeah. Well, if anything else, we can say that next week is going to be a mouthful.
Yeah.
But not of hairball. We'll see you then.